I'm going to start with a small confession. I didn't start out calling this sermon, Join, Damn It, Join. Initially, I titled it, Join, Gosh Darn It, Join. But on reflection, that sounded weaker than what I wanted. I wanted a tough word for the important subject. But I also wanted it friendly. I tried, Join, Damn It, Join. But that didn't feel right. Then I tried the slang word, damn it. That felt better. However, when I went to my dictionary, I couldn't find the word. D-A-M-M-I-T. Damn it apparently is not a real word, no matter how often we use it. Drats. Anyway, the end result explains the tale of two titles. The title, Join, Gosh Darn It, Join, is how it appears on the sermon page of my book, The Unitarian Spirit, but the heading on the chapter 9 is Join, Damn It, Join. That's a small difference, but important. One feels bossy, the other, said with a pat on the back and a smile, can be friendly. Well, by now, you're probably wondering why I got so exercised about new people joining or not joining our congregation, so I'll try to explain. Why would you and I really care greatly if a newcomer actually signed the book? Aren't we happy? Aren't we more than happy when a visitor just attends our services and other activities? After all, the only thing membership grants one is the right to vote once or twice a year. Newcomers are welcome to participate in our music and religious education programs and in nearly any committee. We have no creed or sacrament or ritual to bind them or have them swear to. So what's the big deal about joining up? Sorry. The big deal is that we are really special, and that so few outside our ranks know that. They've done surveys that for every Unitarian, there are three people outside the church that have the same beliefs. We and the rest of the world need to know that there is a religion that is modern and adult and trusts its members to use their freedom and intelligence carefully and with honor. We are not an option to religion. We are simply the most complete modern religious option. One that's not set in words, music, and religious education stories that came from past generations. We are aware of current science and ecology. Our hymnals back this up. The gray hymnal that we have came out in 1993, only 19 years ago. The previous hymnal was in 1964, and it was still in use when I was in seminary, and it's quite outdated. Our humanists demanded more, a more inclusive creator. The male Lord God and Redeemer was much too small, and respect for women, ancient wisdom, and the environment were insufficient. Our 1993 hymnal clarified our principles and sources. On the page right before the first hymn, you'll find the three basic parts of our religion. First are our principles, sometimes known as the seven suggestions, to separate them from the ancient Ten Commandments of Judaism and Christianity. They express our ethics and values, how we should act and honor others. That's good, but it wasn't enough. In the 12 years between 1993 and 2005, we had added 75 hymns. Our earth-centered and humanist teachings, traditions were fully acknowledged. Our new Singing the Unitarian Journey supplemented and added depth and breadth to the gray singing our Unitarian living tradition. So, in just a short period of 12 years, we've revamped a lot of stuff that we stand for. And it included a new source. Now, this is a big deal. For our Protestant friends, it would be like some lady somehow found and added a bunch of newly uncovered gospels and added them to the New Testament. The sixth source that we have, this new one, directs our members to look into the spiritual teachings of earth-centered traditions. So it was included in the 93 hymnal because before that time, in the previous one, it hadn't been written. How could that be? It could only be if our religion was not set in stone, if it was something that still could grow. And that is something that is so preciously rare among world religions. Most world religions have their source as a single book, the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, the Hindu Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, Taoism's Tao Te Ching. But Unitarianism is young and free and still growing, obviously growing beyond its Christian roots. So why should one join with us? Gosh darn it, because we offer a modern, perhaps the only truly modern, broad-based religion available. Why is that important? Because there needs to be British bridges between the major faiths and bridges into all ancient and modern human depths. I like to point out that the word religion has the same root as the word ligament. Religion is intended to re-ligament persons, to reconnect them to what? To reconnect them to that from which we came and are still attached. To the basic religious question, where do we come from, we don't expect an answer, at least not one that's measurable. I like to tell this story. Jack Kornfield, the great Vipassana Buddhist teacher, was talking about birth. He was going on talking about birth, and at one point he paused. He seemed truly amazed at the way babies are born, coming out of the body of a woman. He said, it's like a ship in the bottle. How did it get in there? And then he sort of came out of his reverie and commented and acknowledged. He says, I know you know how it got in there. I mean, but how did it really get in there? Birth is more than a new body appearing. It also includes a new spirit and soul coming into being. How did they get in there? Packed in some little corner of a new little body. Nobody really knows. And yet, I opine that of all the world's religions, ours has the best position from which to help build bridges between science, life, and spirit. And we are strong religious humanists. Science is one of our six sources. It's a source that reads as follows: humanist teachings which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the result of science, and warns us against idolatries of the mind and spirit. No other religion makes that claim, and the world desperately needs ways to join the mind and the spirit. Science needs to be tamed, and religion needs to be fully awakened. So there are two reasons to join, damn it. We're growing and we honor science. What else? Another reason, I think, rests on our first source. This is the one that fits most Unitarians like me to a T. It points toward individual, direct experiences. Experiences that are very real to the individual, but perhaps cannot be measured or expressed. Certain kinds of experiences, ones that turn us toward the 19th century transcendentalists like Emerson and Whitman, who said that there needs be no barrier between oneself and the mysterious transcendent source of all creation. We don't have to wait for some prophet or some messiah or some magic person that has special communication with the creator of the universe and then can pass that on to us. There's no barrier. We can do it. We find magical mystery. We find our own visions. We find things opening to us from where we don't know, but available. The mystical is open to us, and we don't apologize for it. The mysterious transcendent source, that source of all creation. Our Unitarian religion never abandoned that source, but neither do we demand that all our members report direct experiences of that sort. But when you get into a group of people who are talking about things that happen to them that are beyond their understanding and logic and words, it opens up and everybody has some experience, it seems like. Joan and I were just at a meeting of retired ministers and their spouses, and everybody was sharing these events in their lives that were so important, and just you couldn't talk about it really in detail because it's mostly beyond words, but events happened that changed the direction of everyone's life at one point or another. So we don't demand that our members report direct mystical experiences. And because of that tolerance and freedom and all of these things, we've never been able to find an expression in words that fits everyone's experiences of the mystery and wonder affirmed everywhere that renews our spirit and opens us to the forces which create and uphold life. More words of our first source. As a result, we were never able to write a creed, though we tried mightily for about two generations. And when I first became a Unitarian, I thought, well, what do these people believe? What's their creed, coming from a Presbyterian background? And I got nothing. And I was very upset and kind of just bothered that here's a church that doesn't have anything to say. And yet, to find words to enclose what everybody believes and what experiences were the deep ones, we couldn't do that. And so they gave up finding a creed. One of our members carved this for me some time ago. The chicken man, Tom. And he was into really good carving, and this, of course, is a question mark. we can't quite believe in a question mark, but it's as good a symbol as others that we've seen. So that creedlessness may possibly be the reason we have so few members. Most people come to church expecting to be told what to believe. But we won't, and we can't, and we don't. So those who are comfortable with this load of freedom and the incumbent responsibility to decide their own answers to the religious questions, those are the people who populate our pews. Though their number is not great, it's greatly important to have them and to have a religion that supports their quests. The world needs real religious seekers, real seekers who are open to many sources. And that's a big reason to join. Gosh darn it. Damn it. It's been a joke that in place of burning a cross in someone's lawn to criticize their Christianity, that the burnt patch in the front yard of a Unitarian house be in the form of a question mark. But I think it might be more than a merely a funny choice of symbol. It could easily come to be a mark of an open mind, one that admits our human limits, a mind that is still growing one that is a member of a religious tradition that draws from many sources, we could begin to put artistic question marks on the steeples of our churches. There's a big church on the front of your order of service. People from near and far away would look at it and say, now there's a church that isn't afraid to ask serious religious questions. I think I'll check it out. People who are frustrated with answers thousands of years old and theologies that contradict science and common sense. People who want to have their own unique transcendent experiences and epiphanies honored. People who affirm and promote the inborn worth and dignity of every person, straight, gay, young, old, believers in Allah or God or the unified field theory, they would see the beautiful question mark floating high over the Unitarian Church and say, yes, I believe I'll check it out. I'm proud to be a Unitarian. The world would be richer if there were millions of us. Those who have joined with us, I honor and respect. They are among those who fearlessly agree with the purposes of our temple. To them, I offer this little parody. It has some old, King James kind of words, but you'll manage. Now, there was a certain man that for many years did frequent the temple on the Sabbath day. Then he did cease to be found in the great congregation, and a neighbor inquired of him, saying, how is it that thou art no more seen in the temple on the Sabbath day? And the man did give answer. He said, I like not the words that the master speaketh, for he putteth not an end to the questions that vex my mind, neither provideth me with a sure salvation of my soul. Verily, he leadeth us up a smelly, smallish river, and leaveth us there without a paddle. Now, when his conversation was told to the master of the temple, he answered, saying, go tell him that remaineth away from the great congregation that the temple standeth not to provide life preservers, but is a place wherein one learneth how to swim. And he turned around, and I also heard the master fervently comment, rejoin, damn it, rejoin. Here we are all afloat in the great lake of life. The churches of our births are out of life jackets and the water is rising. But we're not here to be baptized. We're here to learn how to swim. Gosh darn it. We're here to learn how to swim. Blessed be and amen.